League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
David Gao and sadly no Carla Dawson. This is The Boss and the Gloss. I'm The Boss, and the gloss this week is Joel Blank out of Houston. You don't look good with gloss. Why'd you put that on your lips?
You know, I tried. I'm trying to live up to small shoes that I can't fill with a much prettier face. So I'm doing all that I can just to kind of blend in. And I'm sure you're going to do your best to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, behind the glass, we've got Chris Tubbs. And Chris will confirm that you are no Carla Dawson.
He's not, but there's only one Carla Dawson. I mean, come on. There's only one. There can be only one. It's like having a generic brand at Sam's Club. I mean, you can only have one real brand name, Gloss.
All right, well, keep hope alive because she will be here an hour or two.
Okay.
And to replace her, it takes a village. We have Joel Blank, who is a on-fire show host for one of our radio stations here in Houston. Joel Blank hosts a show on KFNC in Houston. And as the show progresses this hour, we're going to be joined by Tom Zenner. Tom has written a whole handful of books on winning teams. It's at winnersbooks.com. We're going to hear his story. He's in Houston writing a story about the world champion Astros. So it'd be great to visit with Tom Zenner, who has a great set of experiences. And then later this hour, the venerable one, the coach, Lenny Wilkins, a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame coach.
Yep. Yeah, a guy that, you know, coached the Sonics to the championship, has a great track record. We always talk about Bill Walsh and his tree of coaches. But Lenny Wilkins produced Bernie Bickerstaff, produced J.B. Bickerstaff, who's now the interim coach of Memphis, and several coaches along the way that were under his tutelage. So, yeah, he knows a lot about basketball.
Yeah, we have a great chance to ask him about his perspectives on today's NBA. And it's certainly an interesting window. Some teams emerging now. We're a little more than a quarter of into the season, mm-hmm. and you start to see some separation.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody already assumes and has basically written in the Golden State Warriors to be in the finals, let alone win it. But of the teams that have shown promise early on, how many are pretenders? How many are contenders? Houston, Boston, teams like that. What's going on with Oklahoma City? I'm sure his perspective will be very interesting for the listeners.
We will find that out later this hour. But coming right back, we'll be with Tom Zenner talking about the Houston Astros and other books he's written on winning teams. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to The Boss and the Gloss. And for all you men out there tuning in just to hear the sweet sound of Carla's voice, she'll be back here in hour two. I've got Joel Blank filling in for Carla, Chris Tubbs behind the glass. And joining us here in studio today is Tom Zenner. He's a veteran broadcaster, a long career in sports journalism, and an author of nearly 50 books, mostly related to sports and related to winning teams and winning sports luminaries.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, guys, great joining you tonight. I love Houston. Joel, you'll remember back in the day, man, when the Suns were playing the Rockets. Yeah. Remember they had some good battles. I was working in Houston or in Phoenix at the time, coming back and forth. But how about that Astros season? You're right, David. I've written almost 50 books. And what I do is I capture the entire season for the fans. So I want to make this a commemorative, keepsake, premium product that they will remember and cherish forever. So I look at it as a responsibility. I want to get into the minds of the fans in this fan base, treat them with the respect and exactly how they need to be with this team who captured the entire nation. I live in L.A., mm-hmm. so I was rooting for the Astros. Believe me, I always root for the best story. And I just, there was just something about that team. So of all the books I've done, I really enjoyed the process of doing this past one. I'm sure we could share some stories about it, but there's just something unique and special about this team.
Well, we're talking to Tom Zinner, and you can look at his books at winnersbooks.com. And the project at the moment is the Houston Astros yep. have just come off this incredible season. The book is now done, mm-hmm. and you've got a number of chapters in there. Walk us through this sure. book.
You know, it's really the perfect gift if you're a sports fan. If you're looking for something for that husband, dad, son, anybody that connected with this team, this really is the perfect book. And we have a promo code, which is Houston17, and you can save 10%. But when I start these books, I think, okay, how do we lay this out in a linear fashion that really brings the whole season to life? Right. And then I got to really educate myself on the backstories with the superstars. And this team had a lot of stars.
Sure.
And I'm a sports. I like to consider myself a sports expert. I've been around sports my whole life. I've worked in sports and media. There was just something about that team, the way they could mash from 1 to 9 on that lineup. And then the pitching staff. And then I live in L.A. You couldn't go to a Hollywood studio and get some of those clowns in a conference room and come up with a script. They'd throw you out if you came up with this story.
I was going to say, some of these books you probably have to work pretty hard to make sure that you get everything, don't miss anything. But this one kind of was laid out for you from a Cinderella fashion of everything from the Hurricane to the Altuve story to the way that they came back in the Yankee series all the way through to beating the Dodgers.
You would be laughed out of a conference room at a studio if you tried to pitch this story mm-hmm. of this team. And you're right. Joel, if you another book on Alabama winning the national championship, I mean, what are you going to say? Hey, they were good on defense, hard-hitting, Nick Saban. But this book, I could have done 292 yeah. pages. And the thing that makes my books unique, number one, they're hardcover. So this is a coffee table book that you will keep forever. I mean, you cherish it. It's 192 pages.
Well, it's a great look. It's got great images yeah. all throughout.
And I painstakingly pick every one of these photos. And we get the photos from the Associated Press, where you got millions of photos to choose from. So you really got to dial in on what captures the story. So I laid it out. Okay, let's start with expectations at the beginning of the year. What were people thinking about this team? And part of the backstory is those 300 lost seasons. And just, man, it's unbelievable how they foresaw this. And it took a lot of guts to construct this team and to stick with it, with that core group. So I started with the expectations, what people were thinking on opening day. Then we got into the first month. Hey, started off hot. May, they were explosively hot. June, kept playing well. You know, and you're thinking, man, this team is on pace to do some crazy things this year. So I laid it out month by month. I didn't want to bore people with, you know, box scores from every game. I tell stories about the season, what the big impactful moments were each month, the big games, the walk-off wins, the big performances by Keuchel when no one could beat him early. Mm-hmm. So we built that up, right? And it was all about baseball early. And then you get 6 players in the All-Star game. So I hit the All-Star game hard because – you know, think about it, you guys, you've been around a long time. In the past, you'd have to pay MLB to put an Astro player in the All-Star sure. game in some years. And now, 6 wasn't enough, if you think about it, right? Yep. So I did an All-Star section. And then it started veering into that magical land, right, where Verlander wasn't happening yet. But you really have to give so much credit to the ownership of this team. You know, for Jim Crane to just do what needed to be done, trust the voices in the front office and AJ, and just do what needed to be done. It takes guts to go get one of the best pitchers in baseball and to just roll the dice and do it and say, we're going for it. So, and that coincided exactly with Harvey. And, you know, I didn't live here. And the last thing I didn't want to do is exploit that situation, right? Because I there's no way I could put into perspective what it was really like to live in it. But as a journalist and someone that's done a lot of these books, I had a really good idea. And what this team, I could really tell how the city identified with this team and vice versa. I really felt like the team felt it was almost incumbent on them to do it for the city. So you had these two forces, which I think combined to be unstoppable, and just all the things that they had to do getting, you know, rerouted to Tampa and all that. And that all coincided with Verlander signing, mm-hmm. which is incredible, right? That almost, you know, slipped under the radar screen, right, because of all the other things that were going on. And then it just building into 101 wins, you know, the playoffs. And then I love how you lined it up with 3 dynamic name brand teams, and you just smoked all of them. You just broke hearts in Boston, New York, and L.A.
Yep. And they were the underdog in payroll radically right, each right, time right. out.
Well, and the other thing was, just like you said about the devastation of Harvey, the fans were devastated when the trade deadline came and went,
yep.
and the common fan thought, that was it. We had a chance to get an ace. We didn't get him. Now we're not going to do anything in the playoffs. Lo and behold, they don't take in consideration the waiver wire trade deadline. And then right up to the last second, you have the Cinderella story just unfold for you again. You get one of the best pitchers in baseball. He pitches like one of the best pitchers in baseball. Out-duels some of the regular season best pitchers and just takes them to the promised land.
Yeah, and it was a roller coaster. I mean, if you think about it from a fan's perspective, thinking, okay, we're one player away, right? Yep. Go get them. All right, we've suffered through these tough seasons. Go get them. And then they thought they didn't. And then, boom, they get him. And you could tell Verlander had something to prove, right? He'd been pitched in the World Series. He wanted to prove that he really stamped his legacy as one of the clutch postseason pitchers of all time. Dominant, right? Unstoppable. MVP in the ALCS. So it all built. It was incredible. And to take out three name brand clubs like you guys did, it was just so special. And I used to work in Boston as a sports anchor. And I will tell you, if you read this book, one of the things I pride myself on is I get into the mind of the fan that I'm writing for. It's the only thing I care about. I don't care about being fair. I want to write for the fan so they enjoy this book. So if I take some shots at the Texas Rangers, I'm not going to apologize. They're in there. Yeah. All right? And I rip Boston, right? Because I just think they're a team that's just, you know, they take things for granted. They're not joyful. You know, and it's the exact opposite of the fan base here. So I wanted that to come out. And then to take New York down at 7.
We are talking to Tom Zenner, who has written a great book, really, that memorializes the great season by the Houston Astros. He's written many books. You can find them at winnersbooks.com. And in fact, if you want to go to the site and input a promo code, you can get 10% off of this book. The promo code is Houston17. At winnersbooks.com.
Yeah. And that's exclusive for you guys. You know, that's 10% for the listeners listening right now. And like I said, you can take care of some of your Christmas shopping if you do this right now. And my book is different, too, because I wanted to take it all the way through the parade. Because it's one thing, you know, the final out and you celebrate. But the parade, especially when you've never won it before. There's never been a championship parade for a baseball team in Texas. So I want to make sure we capture that. And that's in there as well.
It is notable. Down the stretch, the bullpen really didn't exist. I mean, there was not a lot of confidence in the traditional bullpen set of roles, and yet they overcame that with, well, Hinch did a great job managing all of the pitching staff.
And don't you guys agree? I am a firm believer that there was something up with those baseballs. Because if you think about playoff baseball the last 5-6 years, what do you think about? Kansas City winning a couple of years when no one could touch them, right? It's dominant pitching. San Francisco, the same thing. That's one thing about playoff baseball. I almost felt it was kind of boring because there's not any offense. Now you couldn't turn the TV off because 5 lead changes would happen by the time you go to the refrigerator. And it was just crazy. So they overcame all that too.
And one of the rarities is because of the fact that Verlander wasn't with you, wasn't with the Astros the entire season, but he becomes a centerpiece of the book, a centerpiece of the season, also a centerpiece of the baseball controversy because no one knows the baseball like Justin Verlander. And when a guy with that much credibility comes to the podium and says, you know what, it's a totally different feel of a baseball than what I had in the regular season. It's slicker. The seams aren't the same feeling, but we have to play with it because it's the ball they're giving us. That adds a lot of credence and credibility to the fact that maybe there was something different.
I agree. And then, you know, the one solace you can take if you're a Justin Verlander is, you know, the other pitcher's dealing with the same thing.
True. Sure.
Right? So it's affecting both teams. But I give those players credit because they didn't complain too much. They referenced it. You think it was an issue, but they weren't whining about it. It didn't become this overriding issue, which is kind of cool because it was so entertaining of a playoff series.
No question. I'm going to tell you right now, I just got my hands on this book today. And the one thing that I'm going to tell you for the fans out there, if you are looking for that perfect gift for sports fan on your Christmas list, this is a book that not only you can take and put on your coffee table and go back again and again to reminisce about the memories, but it becomes something that you can have to have autographed because everybody's looking for that unique piece that you want to get signed. If you ever do have that rare opportunity to come across some of the stars of this team, you have that. It's on your coffee table during the rest of the year, but you can take that and commemorate the entire World Series with autographs, things like that. And the other thing that I give you credit for, Tom, is a lot of these things you become the spokesperson for and just talk about. When you told me you actually wrote this book and wrote every word in the book, look, that's impressive to me because so many people are trying to mass produce these books, but the fact that you took the time to actually put that passion into it means a lot.
It is a great book on the Houston Astros season. It's at winnersbooks.com, and you can get 10% off if you enter promo code Houston17. When we come back, we're going to ask Tom about his favorite books, his top two or three books he's written during his career. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I am David Gao, but Carla Dawson will not join us till hour two. I've got Joel Blank sitting next to me. Also on my left is Tom Zenner, author of a number of books, nearly 50 of them, and you can go see them at winnersbooks.com. He has written about great sports teams, championships, and he's in Houston. He's just written a book about the Houston Astros, their great World Series win. If you're interested in that book, and it is a great holiday gift Go to winnersbooks.com. You can buy that book. Enter promo code Houston17, and you will get 10% off. But, Tom, while we've got you here, you've written books about all kinds of championship seasons, championship players. Tell us about two or three of your favorite books.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's interesting just when I look back at some of the old books I did, you know, just the evolution. I think they've come a long way. I look at the Duke basketball book I did when they won in like 2009. I'm going, how did I even put that out there? You know? But just the style, the design, and then the writing, it just evolves. Whenever you do something for a long time, you get better at it. And that's where we're at. You know, I would say one of the – I've got a few that are really memorable. A couple of them that come to mind are the Cubs book from last year. Mm-hmm. Just because I was a TV sports anchor for 15 years, and I worked in some great markets. I was really lucky. I was in Chicago for the Bulls' last three NBA titles, and I worked for NBC. So I was in the locker room interviewing Michael Jordan and Rodman and all those guys after every game. So I knew the Chicago fans as well, and I knew how much they appreciated the Cubs winning. Mm-hmm. And I also worked in Boston, so I felt I had like a good yin and yang there. I did pregame shows on Fox in Boston, so I really understood that fan base too. And I love fans that appreciate things, right? And that's another thing about Houston fans. They appreciate this. Everywhere I go around town and I talk about the Astros, you just see that natural passion and excitement about them. So the Cubs book was great because they waited so long.
Yep.
And, you know, they didn't need a championship to be happy. They still enjoyed their life, right? They weren't defined by the Cubs' success. But the fact that they finally got to see it, and then just families and the intergenerational, you know, situations there where if someone's grandparents had died, I mean, the people were just bawling, and it was so insane. You know?
Well, even the fact that you had ladies 90 to 100 years old that were hanging on because they wanted to – some of them had tickets right by the dugout because they wanted to see that.
Yes.
And they remember the Bartman incident, and they remember how close they were in the past and how many different times they had a chance and they watched it slip through their fingers. To see them finally achieve that, the lovable loser was the moniker for so long. Yeah. But it was part of like that underdog mentality that the nation kind of grasped onto and said, we want to see the Cubs win it simply to get off the schneid.
Yeah, and I think pure joy comes through visually. Mm. And a Cubs team, an Astros team, that's joyful. You do a book on the Alabama football team winning another championship, there's not a lot of joy there. That's a machine.
It's a grind.
It grinds people up. It grinds the opponent up. But the Cubs, that was fun. That was a party. It was festive. The way they did it, seven games in the World Series, you can't be more dramatic than that. I'm a storyteller. So when I have that to work with, a seven-game series, there's nothing better than that. You know, just for pure memories, you know, I'll do books that are on pop culture or celebrities as well. So I've done a book on Kobe Bryant, and I worked in the NBA for a couple of years, and I think Kobe gets miscast a little bit. And Joel, you've been in the NBA forever. You know, you've been around him. Kobe, no one took his job more serious than Kobe. And I'll give you a funny backstory with Kobe. I used to own a magazine, and it was a regional magazine based in Arizona. We had some distribution on the West Coast, and we had lined up Kobe. This was before the All-Star Game was in Phoenix in 2008 or 9, whenever that was. So we had lined up Kobe to do our cover shoot. And he was cool about it. Yeah, no problem. Come down. So what we did is we built this road sign, an official highway road sign from the state highway department in Arizona, where we listed the distance from Phoenix to L.A. I mean, and so we had Kobe hold this thing. The day before we did the cover shoot, and we shot this in El Segundo at the Holiday Inn because that was the closest to their practice facility, Kobe broke his finger against San Antonio. He still shows up for the photo shoot. If you look at the photo, it's all bandaged, and he's holding that sign, and he couldn't have been cooler. Mm. So I really like Kobe. I enjoy doing that book. Here's one for just pure stress. We decided in 2011, everybody was talking about the royal wedding, right? That was the biggest thing, and I thought, there's got to be a way to capitalize on this. So we went to L.A., and I met with Extra, Entertainment Tonight, and Access Hollywood. I said, let's go make a deal. Who wants to partner with me? We'll do this book. I'll write it. You guys promote it, and we'll distribute it. So I met with all of them, and Access Hollywood was in. So it was great. So, but you do that with NBC, and there's a lot of layers.
Sure.
We literally had to have 26 people sign off on every darn near every page that we did. So it was stressful. Now, here's the most stressful part. We put that book together, and the wedding was on whatever that was, Friday night. And we started on Thursday. Literally, we're working around the clock. Access Hollywood promoted it for 2 weeks before the wedding. So we had to come up with something. So we're getting our images back. We were doing it at my designer's house, who lived out in rural Phoenix, outside of Phoenix. The internet connection was so slow. We were praying every time we would send an upload to the printer or to get a confirmed thing, and please go through, please go through. I literally thought we weren't going to get that book done. And then they got married, and the next day they got Osama bin Laden. So then I thought, oh, great, now we're not going to get any publicity.
Sure.
So that was stressful. I remember literally if there was a reality show, I was freaking out saying, there's no way I'm going to get this book done. NBC's going to kill me.
So we're talking to Tom Zenner, author of a number of books. You can buy them at winnersbooks.com. And the Houston Astros book is now for sale. You can get a discount by entering promo code Houston17, 10% off if you do that. So let's tie some of your work to the present day moment. College football playoffs, the Final Four were announced this week. Are you gearing up to write about the imminent champion?
Absolutely. Okay. Bring it on. I hope it's a big state school with a lot of alums that we can sell books to all
exactly.
over the country.
Right. Right. I mean, look, you can't ask for a better scenario in the fact that when you got to the fact that you got rid of all of the controversy in the past of the rankings and the rating system, but you get a committee involved with the human eye and an eye test, you got a little controversy as well. And that's what makes this thing go around. Everybody says make it six, make it eight teams. So no one's excluded. Regardless of how many teams you're going to have in it, someone's going to feel slighted. But the fact of the matter is, if you feel like you got the four best, most talented teams in the playoff, you're going to have a lot of great stories. And now when you look at the matchups, a rematch of the last two national championship games as a semifinal game. Baker Mayfield and all that he brings to the table with Oklahoma is a story within itself for what Oklahoma brings to the table. And Clemson obviously returning as the national champion. That's a great story. So you've got a lot built right into the final four teams.
Were you guys happy with Alabama over Ohio State or USC?
I was definitely happy with the decision-making process because, one, I've said all along, you get penalized more for a late-season loss, even if it's your only loss, as opposed to a team like Ohio State or Oklahoma. If you lose early in the season, you can rebound from that, even USC, and come back and make something of your season. And I think that the main thing was Ohio State lost to Iowa, and Iowa was not a great team. They were a mediocre team that had a little bit of a push in the midseason, but you got blown out.
Sure.
You got blown out by a large margin, gave up a ton of points, and were embarrassed. Alabama only had one loss, and they were never embarrassed. And I think that's why it makes it the right decision.
Yeah, and I think there's two other factors, too. Number one, they're hosed if they ever bring in a two-loss team because there's a lot of two-loss teams every year. Mm. So I think you better not open that door and deal with that. And I think the other thing the committee looked at is last year Clemson did play Ohio State in a semifinal game, and it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. It was 31-0.
It's a blowout,
it was a ridiculously boring game, and they don't want that. They want to have some compelling matchups, and I think those were two of the best games of all time in college football. And if they can get a rematch, even though Deshaun's not playing, you know, some of the characters aren't going to be in that game. But that's a nice matchup.
And Kelly Bryant's certainly holding his own as Deshaun's replacement. He's a really exceptional player right now and had a great championship game in the ACC championship game.
And I think you have a guy like Baker Mayfield as opposed to in the past when you were looking at the teams that have the best chance to win are going to also have the Heisman Trophy winner. Hands down, you're going to have Heisman Trophy winners on both sides of the ball. Defense really means a lot this year from a lot of the teams still alive. Yes, Baker Mayfield is the exception because he's going to put points on the board. But you look at Clemson's staple, and that's their defense.
Yep.
And their defense is still fantastic. Alabama, the crazy thing about them is they've been depleted at linebacker, but their backups are five stars that are probably going to play in the NFL.
Right.
So they play defense.
Right.
And you look at those two factors alone, and it's with Clemson and Alabama playing defense the way they do, and the fact that all the teams compete on the defensive side of the ball, that means something for a college football landscape that's almost always dominated by offense.
Yeah.
So I would say that from a fan, I actually didn't want Alabama to get that fourth spot, in part because I've got a little bit of Alabama fatigue. You're going to end up writing a book about the champion. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to win for the best story in the books you can sell?
I wish it was Georgia-Oklahoma in the championship because that would be compelling. Those two teams haven't been there in a long time. Those are big state schools, you know, a lot of support. I think it would be defense versus offense. It'd be an incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can live without Oklahoma or without Alabama winning again.
Yep.
I hope they don't. Clemson, been there, done that too.
Right.
You know, give me something new.
Right.
I need something new. I need a new challenge. Give me Georgia or Oklahoma. I would love that either way. And especially if Oklahoma won because they're going to have the Heisman Trophy winner as well. So you got that added hook.
And you have all the stories built in. You talk about a team like Georgia that I've hardly mentioned, but the fact of the matter is they have great defense. They got a freshman quarterback. They got a brand new coach. And yet no one at the start of the season said this is a team that's not only going to compete in the SEC and win the SEC, but they're going to compete for a national title. You would think that it would take a few years for Kirby to get his guys in there, a few years to get seasoning behind the quarterback position. But yet here they are in a chance to shock the world and in a chance to really give a ton of storylines underneath the fact that they could win the national championship.
And I'm going to give you one prediction right here. I think Saban's going to retire, win or lose, in the playoffs. I really do.
Really?
If you
after
watch
this year?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you why.
Well, there's your book story. If that happens.
Oh, without a doubt.
The end of an era.
I'll tell you why. He's too good on media. Do you watch him on ESPN? I mean, he's good. I mean, and I think he – what more can he do? You know, does he really want to? He's turned that into a dynasty. He can turn it over to somebody else. I don't think he wants to compete against Kirby Smart every year. Mm-hmm. He's going to lose. He's also going to lose in state the next 2 years because they're more dynamic offensively. So it can only hurt his legacy by staying. He can slide right in to the media route. I really think. And did you watch how he was having fun talking about the jeans that one day?
The ripped jeans.
He's having too much fun.
For a coach like that.
You could tell he's having too much fun. He's engaging with the media a little bit too much. And I think he'll be phenomenal on TV. And I think this is the end of the road, win or lose.
Wow.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's Tom Zenner, and he's the author of a number of books. You can find them at winnersbooks.com. It's a whole portfolio of books about championship seasons, including a book about the Houston Astros that had just come out. Go to winnersbooks.com. Enter promo code Houston17 to get 10% off. Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys, thanks for letting me hang with you tonight. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss. Lenny Wilkins coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gow and Carla Dawson.
David Gow here and Joel Blank filling in for Carla Dawson in hour number one of The Boss and the Gloss. Carla will return hour two. We got Chris Tubbs behind the glass, and we're going to be joined by Lenny Wilkins. In fact, Lenny Wilkins is on the phone. He is a Hall of Fame player and Hall of Fame coach in the NBA. Lenny, welcome into the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us. So we're a little over a quarter into the season. What has stood out to you? What's the surprise to you thus far?
Well, one of the things we saw last year was there was a lot of good young players. They lack a lot of experience, but certainly the talent is there. And when I look at teams like Milwaukee, Boston. I mean, Boston got off to an incredible start, winning like 16 straight games. Toronto should be a good team. The Lakers, Magic is doing a great job in that he's allowing them to grow and learn the game. They lack a lot of experience, but certainly in time they're going to be good. So I think that you're seeing a lot of excellent young talent in the NBA, and certainly it'll make for an interesting year. Philadelphia, all of a sudden, they're back in the running. I mean, they got some young talent. So I like a lot of the young talent that I see.
Coach, you talk a lot about the talent, but then what it takes to make that talent into a team. We know that everybody knows that the creme de la creme of the NBA right now is the Golden State Warriors, and it's their championship to lose in a lot of people's minds. But you mentioned that hot start of the Boston Celtics and the streak that they had going. They've fallen off a little bit since. You look at a team like Houston that added a Chris Paul. You look at a team like Oklahoma City that everybody said was supposed to be the team that was going to battle in the West with the Warriors, and they've fallen off early on. Who are the pretenders and who are the contenders realistically by the time the regular season ends?
Well, you're right. Houston, all of a sudden, they've added some players to their team, and certainly they're one of the teams that everybody thinks is going to be, a contending team. Golden State, I think they're going to find more teams challenging them this year. They're still a great team in that how they play together, how they move the ball, the things they do. But I think that the young talent believes they can be successful. So, I think Houston's going to be one of those teams. The Clippers, they have injuries. But they seem to allow teams to hang in a game way too long. So I worry about them. But I still think that this could be an interesting year.
Well, Coach, interesting from a coaching perspective how you analyze a team like Oklahoma City, because they added the two missing pieces with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, but they also put together three players that were the top three players in the league a year ago at isolation scoring. And with that, in order to make a team, that you have to get guys to make concessions and step back. It seems like Westbrook has done that, but it seems like a lot of their problems are centered around the fact that Paul George and Carmelo Anthony are still adjusting to what could be a very talented team if they could ever get to that point where they just accepted roles.
Well, it's going to take them a while because they haven't played with guys like that before.
And where the teams they play, they've always been kind of the star. They've always had the ball. And the ball has to move. Westbrook is a very talented young player in that he plays with reckless abandonment, you know. And if he has an opportunity to get to the basket, he's going, you know. But the thing is that learn to play with him, you know. Realize that if I'm wide open, he will give it up. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, I watched him play, and I think he will give it up. And but that's the only thing holding them back is the other guys making their adjustment. And so we have to watch and see. Can they make that adjustment? And if they do, how long is it going to take?
We're talking to Hall of Famer Lenny Wilkins of the NBA. So, Coach, I'd love to ask you about the Celtics. They've got the two young guys, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and they have come together probably quicker than anybody expected. How far can they go without Gordon Hayward, a guy they thought would be key to the whole team?
Well, I still think that Gordon Hayward is key, and it's going to take them a while. You're right. They have come together. They've played well. I think the coach has done a great job there. And he's getting those guys to understand that, hey, if we play defense and if we move the ball, we can be successful. So getting off to a great start a lot of times is a great confidence builder, you know, because you got to believe that we can only get better. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Can they keep this going? You know, where are they going to be by the time we get to All-Star break? And that will give us a good idea.
Well, Coach, I know we want to get some things in here, too, that are near and dear to your heart that have got to make you smile. And that is today, in breaking news, the Seattle City Council approved a $600 million plan to renovate Key Arena and hopefully open the door to the NBA returning to Seattle, one of my all-time favorite cities in the NBA. That's got to make you feel pretty good that Seattle hopefully is starting the process to get an NBA team back up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, it does. You know, Seattle's a tier one city and the gateway to the east. I mean, it's to the west, rather. And certainly I would love to see an NBA team here. I think that we can support it. I think that hopefully they'll be smarter this time around, making sure that they do the things that make the team successful. So I'm all for it. I'm happy about it, and I hope it works.
That's Coach Lenny Wilkins. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Hall of Fame player and coach. Coach Lenny Wilkins, thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
No, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you, Joel, about your Rockets is they have really gotten off to a good start. And there were so many questions about how the two would mesh in the backcourt, Chris Paul and James Harden. They have really played well.
They really have. And you know what the key to it is, David? And it's hard for me to believe that I'm saying this, but it's the fact that Chris Paul played the first game of the regular season and sat 14 straight games out. Mm. And people think, well, you're crazy because how does that help? Well, he sat next to Mike D'Antoni the entire time, and he sat next to the coaching staff. And he was able to witness it almost from a coach's perspective and say, this is where I can make Clint Capella better. This is how I can compliment James Harden. More importantly, he could go to those two guys and say, hey, from where I'm sitting, what you're missing is when you do this, these things open up. And his court vision as a point guard allowed him to kind of be a coach on the floor before he even got back. Now, they're undefeated since he got back on the floor, in part because a lot of that feeling out process was handled with him being out with an injury where he could just kind of visualize in his mind, on the floor, I need to be here when James is there. And now you take two of the most dynamic ball handlers in the league. I'm not even going to pigeonhole them by saying point guards anymore, but two of the most dynamic ball handlers, and you can play them side by side. You can rotate them in and out so that you always have at least one on the floor. And the other thing that I think is very, very underrated with this team is the other moves that they made. Everybody focused on Chris Paul, but you take Luka Mbamute and you take PJ Tucker, who were perimeter defenders that were at an elite level.
Yep.
They can defend on the perimeter, and that's one of the big things that everybody knocks Houston for. Now, when Golden State goes with that suicide lineup, they like to call it, you can combat that with kind of a death squad lineup, if you will, with the Rockets. You can put Luka Mbamute, PJ Tucker. You can put Chris Paul because of his steals and the way he guards on the perimeter. Clint Capella to guard the rim. And then a Trevor Ariza, who's always been considered an above-average defender. And you can suffocate teams yourself with a defensive lineup if you're playing from offense to defense late in a game. And I think that's what they were lacking in the past. So I think there is no ceiling for this team. But one of the reasons why those two guys have meshed early is because of the time that Chris Paul spent as an observer early on.
Well, they faced the Lakers the other day, and, well, it almost looked like Harden was taking Ball to school.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers, the storyline, Lonzo Ball, the rookie, there's so many expectations. He's almost a distraction, it seems to me, sometimes.
It's a really difficult situation because it seems to be if that kid was left on his own, he would be very much a very reserved, very polite, very quiet kid trying to learn the ropes as he goes along and plays the game his way. Unfortunately, because of his father, he set himself up for a lot of added undue pressure, both on the floor and off. You know that LeVar Ball has come out and said that he believes that Lonzo is equally as good, if not better, than Steph Curry.
Right.
So that's setting yourself up.
Right.
But also with all the other fanfare and stuff he's done off the court, a lot of the veterans in this league are looking to go at him. You saw it last night in Los Angeles with the Rockets. The first time Chris Paul got the ball, he said, I'm going to put the kid on the post, and I'm going to show him a few things. I'm smaller than him, and I'm going to school him. Then you look at Harden, who put him completely on spin cycle from the top of the key with crossovers and dribbles and left him in his dust to say, you are not where your dad thinks you are. And it's unfortunate because I don't think it's him. I think a lot of the punishment that he's going through and a lot of the difficulties he's facing is due to his father and all that pressure that he's gotten with the media.
Well, and people forget, he is a young rookie.
Yeah.
Now, that's Fultz is another one, mm-hmm. and he is not really been playing because he's injured. What other rookies are impressing you? I mean, Tatum's off to a good start. Who do you like thus far in the rookie class?
Well, I think head and shoulders. And, again, it's a situation where Ben Simmons sat out in a complete season to try and get healthy and get acclimated. But people don't value enough how important it is, that transition. It's easy to say it's a young kid going to the NBA to learn it on the floor, but it's the off-the-floor stuff. It's having the money, having the five-star hotels, having all of the different distractions thrown at you that you have to be able to avoid the bad ones and only go to a certain level with the good ones and make sure that you pace yourself, your body, your nutrition, all these different things. I think Ben Simmons sitting out a year, here's a guy that what's really remarkable to me is you look at one of the MVP candidates in this league in Adetokounmpo from Milwaukee and the rookie of the year leading candidate right now in Ben Simmons. Neither one of them has a jump shot. Neither one of them is known as a guy that can face the basket and make shots, yet both of them are at an elite level right now, being considered were two of the major awards in this game. It shows you where the game is at right now, which it used to be relying upon having a jump shot. Scoring meant you were able to shoot from all over the floor. These guys just attack the basket with ferocity, and they're so freakishly athletic that they're able to just use their athleticism and their will to overtake players in this league.
Well, you're talking about some of these 76ers, young team. Of course, the Celtics have some young players. And I was thinking the other day about how when people look at the NBA, they always think of the great Celtics-Lakers rivalry. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics-76ers rivalry was really strong.
Sure it was.
Late 70s, early 80s, when Bird was there and Irving for the 76ers. And you could almost feel like those two teams are building to a crescendo. In a year or two from now, you could have those two teams as the real elite teams of the East.
Ironically, because I remember the Bird and Julius Irving fight, where you didn't see those guys ever fight, and they were throwing haymakers. And you think about those rivalries, McHale, Moses Malone. It may not be where everybody says the East is loaded right now, but you give them 2 to 3 years, and you look at Philadelphia and that dynamic duo of Embiid and Simmons, and then you look at Jason Tatum. There's a reason why Danny Ainge was willing to trade down in this draft. He didn't want Markelle Fultz and his broken jump shot and his hurt shoulder. He didn't want all the distractions of the Ball family. He knew the best player in this draft, quite honestly, could be Jason Tatum. So far, he's proving to be right. So he got his man there with Tatum, and he got a franchise player in a trade with Kyrie Irving. You look at the makeup of those two young franchises, their age, their draft picks, how they can continue to get better, and you're absolutely right. Those are two teams that are going to be reckoned with now for the next 3 to 5, maybe longer than that, and they can rekindle that relationship of having that rivalry that has been gone for so many years between Philadelphia and Boston. And that's only a good thing for the league because the bigger cities with the better players get the overall nation's attention. Now, if you get the Knicks back in that mix, then you'd really be saying something.
There you go.
But I don't know if you got an act of God that big that can do that right.
No. I mean, that you're asking for something way too big.
Right. You got Porzingis, and then you got the rest of the Knicks. So if you're paying Tim Hardaway Jr. $75 million, you probably have some things that you need to reevaluate.
But with Fultz, Simmons, Embiid, those guys, the 76ers are loaded. The process has finally come around.
Yeah, Sam Hinkie was criticized immensely when he was doing what he was doing, but he had a method to his madness, much like what the Houston Astros did, losing 100 games a year for a couple of years to build up the draft picks in the farm system. Philly's process is working right now. And remember now, we've talked about the evolution of this game. It was a big man's game a while back. It's now gotten to the point of the three-point shooter and the wing player. But if you have that one valued extra big man, that piece that not many teams in the league have, like Joel Embiid, who can play both inside and outside and be dynamic on both ends of the floor, he can cause a lot of problems. You can't find someone in Boston that can guard him right now, or very many places in this league. So that's an added bonus for Philadelphia. That means that they should be a factor to reckon with as long as he stays healthy, and that's a big if.
That is Joel Blank, who is joining me here tonight on the Boston The Gloss. You're listening to SB Nation Radio. When we come back, we'll wrap up the first hour and get your closing thoughts on the college football playoffs.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, a great hour. Joel Blank, thank you for filling in this past hour, filling in for Carla Dawson. Great to have you here. Joel Blank is a hot radio show host here in Houston on KFNC and has been great here on SB Nation Radio. It's sort of interesting, when we began, we were looking around the room. We had Tom Zenner here. He lives in Minnesota. We had we have our guy behind the glass, Chris Tubbs from Minnesota. You're from Wisconsin. I felt surrounded here. I'm a Texan, by all you Midwesterners. He is on fire. Chris Tubbs is on fire for the Vikings. Yeah. And your Packers are now back in it.
Yeah, you know, I put all my Packer gear away when Rodgers got hurt, thinking that this was the year that I finally had to relinquish playoff berths and having a chance, because they say all you need is a chance. But now when they're saying that Rodgers is pretty much healthy, he should have never been on IR, and they're staying within striking distance, I'll give Chris the division. But I'll tell you this right now, if he comes back in week 15 and all they got to do is beat Cleveland next week to be right on the cusp of that last wild card berth, I don't think there's many teams in the NFC that say, first round, wild card round, I want to face Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers.
Woo, no, they don't.
Yeah, so the Packers are still hanging in. That's all I can ask for. But from Chris's perspective, take a guy like Case Keenum, who's had a go-round with the Texans, a go-round with the Rams, had more concussions than wins, and then all of a sudden he gets a chance to quarterback a team that looked dynamite in week one with Sam Bradford, and then after the mysterious injury, he goes away and you think their season is thwarted. 8 in a row, Case Keenum leading the way. Stop trying to figure out if Teddy Bridgewater is the replacement and go with the hot hand. Case Keenum's got a chance to do some special things for that team.
No doubt. He is leading them well. Vikings on their way. And Joel Blank is on his way. Joel, thank you so much for filling in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And for all you men who are listening and holding your breath, Carla Dawson will be joining us in hour number two. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.